Hello and welcome to this episode of the Happy Hearthstone, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. Wait, what's going on? Are we back at the first episode? No, of course we're not. This is Andrew, and I wanted to let you guys know that there are some exciting new changes coming to the Happy Hearthstone in the next coming episodes. And I want to let you guys know that this time right here, this little intro piece that you've gotten so used to hearing what happens, it'll be shifting a little bit with some cool stuff. So I want to give you a heads up that that's coming in future episodes. But for right now, let's go ahead and get to it. Hello and welcome to episode 101 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and I am so excited to be with you guys. I need to say right off the top, thank you so, so much for just the insane response we got for episode 100. Obviously, it was a really special episode, put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that. But all of that was for you guys, the listeners, the community of the Happy Hearthstone. So I just want to say again from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for being on this journey with me. You can hear in my voice, I'm a little verklempt right now. I'm getting over cold this week, but we've got great stuff coming for this episode. I do want to let you guys know, I know you're eager to hear if you won the big contest that we've had running over the past couple weeks, and we will tell you all the winners at the end of the show, because come on, I gotta have something to get you through this. And I have got a great co-host here with me. I want to introduce you guys to a friend of mine who's a part of the community. His name is Scott, and Scott, it is so good to have you on the show today, man.
Andrew Brown, my man, what is going on?
Man, this is like a day we've been talking about. Yeah. I think you reached out to me like 6 years ago to see if you could get on the show. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's close enough. And after months and months of me harassing you, we finally get to sit down and talk some Hearthstone. So I'm really excited to be here.
Dude, I'm pumped. And seriously, I really am thankful for how patient you were with me. I think it was right around when I was trying to get everything together for the episode 100. I was like, oh man, I want to get Scott on. And I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but man, I'm so glad we're finally making it happen.
Absolutely.
All right, so Scott, I know we got a ton of people listening who may not know who you are. Tell us all about you, all about your foray into video games, Hearthstone, why you're here today. Just tell us a little bit of the behind-the-scenes Scott story.
All right, so I've never really had played any trading card games, any type of Pokemon or anything. I kind of found out about Hearthstone through another podcast called The Instance that just talks about WoW, World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Played a bunch of that, so that kind of got me interested in it. And then sometime before the iOS release, I got into it, but when it came on the phone, I kind of really got real big into it, and I just loved the game, and I could not put my phone down. I was just constantly going from like the iPad to the phone, just trying to get in as much as I could, and learn as much as I could.
Sure.
Because you know, I've never had any magic or anything, so this is just fresh and new to me, and
That's awesome.
I just loved it. But before that, I was really just a Xbox player. You know, no PC, rarely use my phone for anything like games. But Now I'm on my computer. I don't even turn my Xbox on unless I'm watching Netflix. Really. So this has really changed the way I game and what I do with my spare time.
Yeah, you and I actually have that in common. I used to be an Xbox gamer too. So, like, tell us, other than Hearthstone, what's your favorite video game of all time?
Oh, there's so many. It's got to be maybe Mass Effect 2 or BioShock.
Okay.
The first BioShock that I love so very much.
Oh, dude, so good.
Yes.
That story is just unbeatable.
Yes. The environment, everything was just the right amount of creepiness and action. So it's one of my all-time favorites.
That's awesome. So you said that you started out with World of Warcraft. Coming from that into Hearthstone, was it an easy transition? I mean, I know the lore is, I mean, there's similar parts there, the characters that carry over. The gameplay couldn't be more different. So what was that experience like for you?
It was really tough, actually. You know, back that long ago, I guess you could say, it wasn't as much content on the internet for me to research and look up into and understand how card games worked. So the tutorial, being on my phone and stuff, was a little hard to get through some of the stuff. I remember banging my head against the tutorial, trying to figure out what's going on and understand. Like I was just completely new, and I guess if until you can come into Hearthstone without the other games to reference, you really don't understand how hard that is. There is,
yeah,
I've heard other podcasts talk about a barrier to entry into the game, but it was actually pretty steep. It was actually tough. That would be tough for me to transition into it. The lore, none of that really helped me. That just kept me interested.
Sure, sure.
But it didn't actually help me as far as learning, because, you know, it's completely different, you know, from if you've played World of Warcraft, coming into a mouse, you know, clicking the cards and dropping them.
Yeah. So now, being an addict, would you say?
Yes,
I mean, somewhere along this
line. Yep.
Do you remember if there was ever like a turning point for you where something just clicked, or you looked back and you had just spent 3 hours just, you know, playing Arena
Arena, but yes. I got stuck on a, you know, get in there and you're on a win streak and you just want to keep playing until you lose. And the next thing you know, you've invested a few hours and you don't realize it.
It's all in the matter, a matter of what you see what you think.
Well, I like to see it as an investment, so that's what the word I'll use.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your play style in Hearthstone. What do you enjoy playing? What's your niche?
I do love playing just the standard ladder. I've kind of got into Wild and started enjoying it, but it was it's just a lot to keep up with. There's a lot you forget, like certain cards that were so powerful and so good when they've been gone for a while, and you get back in there and then they hit you with Light Bomb. And you're thinking, you know, I forgot all about that and how powerful Light Bomb
is. It's a significant card.
Yeah, you're just kind of waiting around for Dragonfire Potion, and then they hit you with you know, a complete board, you know, just wipe. And but I still like the ladder. It's you know, it's tough on me. I'm still learning, so I'm kind of, I can, you know, get to 10, but you know, I can get to 6, and that's about as far as I can go. So I'm still
that's not bad at all.
But I do love playing Paladin. That Paladin is my only golden class that I have, a hero. So,
oh, nice.
I really enjoy playing that and playing it on the ranked ladder.
Do you normally play aggro Paladin, control Paladin, mid-range? There's a lot of different Paladins.
The one that I've, the one I'm ashamed to talk about, is the secret Paladin.
Oh, of course. No, of course.
and then I use the Inzoth Death Rattle Paladin, and that's kind of my thing. I never really got into the aggro. I didn't like it as much. I felt kind of cheap, or like I was cheating sometimes, kind of like when I played the secret Paladin. So I kind of strayed away from it, and I'm trying to sort of make myself play other decks that are challenging, so I can actually learn the game.
That's a good thing. Well, I think you're going to be able to help us learn a little bit today, and we'll get into that a bit later. But Scott, first, I want to know why you're happy today.
Packs, card packs. I've chose I got Orange as my champion, and he's actually doing good for me, so
hey.
I'm happy about that. And of course, the first time on a podcast, and it's this one. So coming right off of your awesome 100th, which by the way, congratulations! Forgot to say that.
Thanks a lot, man.
The show, but that was a really good episode. I listened to it as I was walking through the mall, just kind of shopping with my daughter, and try to catch that. And it was really, really good. You put a lot of work into it. I remember you was before we was trying to get this episode ready, you were telling me about all this work and you put a lot of effort into it, and it paid off. It's really, really well. Well done.
Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate that. I'm glad that you got the memo, because I actually recorded that episode with a mall walking experience with your daughter in mind. So
wow.
You got the full experience,
well,
man.
So I was your target audience. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's awesome. Well, yeah, Orange did really well, man. We'll talk about that a little bit in the news, but you called it. You did a good job with him.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was mean, I really was kind of lost, but I did see him play a few games previously, and I was just like, I feel like he's probably going to be a good solid pick, and kind of, I guess, gut instinct. I didn't really have much statistics or anything to look at, and I just kind of picked him, and it's working out, so I'm glad.
Absolutely, man. Well, cool. Well, I'm happy today because DreamHack Denver is this week, and I can't wait. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I haven't actually been to an IRL event or anything like that, so I'm really excited. I know we got a lot of listeners here. We've got some the guys over at Tier 5, Dad Legend. There's a bunch of people who are going to be at this thing, so I'm really excited to be there. And if you're going, please reach out to me and let me know. We'll be going out and hanging at different places, and I would love to meet as many of you guys as possible who are going to be there. And I'll actually be a guest on the Tier 5 podcast this week. We're going to talk a lot about DreamHack Denver. So if you're interested in hearing about that, go ahead and check it out. I also think I'm going to be recording some stuff, and we'll probably release a bonus episode or something like that. Maybe a full-on episode. I don't know. We're all about community, and this thing is literally the community, like, coming out, you know. I guess there will be some pro players there, too. But
I was going to go, and I had won tickets from Coin Concede, or a ticket, and something came up last minute, so
can't go.
I know.
Oh, that's a bummer, man. It is. Hopefully they'll do it next year. I mean, they haven't. I think this is their first time doing DreamHack at Denver, but I have a feeling it's going to be pretty successful for them.
Right.
So that's good. Well, let's jump into some news. It has been a long, long time since we did news because last episode was so jam-packed, we didn't have time for it. But really, a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about today has only come up in the past week or so. And like we already talked about, the Summer Hearthstone Championship has just closed up shop, and hope you guys picked as good a winner as as Scott did, because that was a good call. I actually picked Pavel. Was hoping that he could break the curse, but unfortunately he did not. If you watched it, man, I mean, I didn't get to watch a ton of it, but I did watch his match with Orange, mm-hmm. and it was bananas. And I've got to say, the cards were stacked against him on the last one. He literally had every card in a Token Shaman deck that you do not want in your hand as you're trying to develop the board. He had like double Bloodlust, his Death Knight. It was just not good. But Orange did fantastic. Surrender won. He's from the Asia region. And huge congrats to him. He, Orange Purple, and Jason Zhao are going to be in the World Championship for 2017. I mean, this whole summer championship was just packed to the brim with fantastic players. I mean, I really think any of them could have won. Were there any others that you knew of, Scott, going into it?
I don't know. You're talking about, let's see, was it Pavel was in it, right? I'm trying Pavel to keep up with it, everybody. Yeah. I watched
There's a lot of names.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank, of course. As soon as you ask me, I'm staring at this screen and I'm drawing a blank. But who else? I watched, I'm going to butcher his name,
Empanizada, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I watched his game. He went out early, though, right?
I can't remember.
I believe he went out early, earlier in the matches. But I watched some of that game. I watched the BM. That did you see that? Did you
catch that? There was a lot of controversy around that. I actually didn't. No.
Yeah. So I hate to say this, but I'm wondering if it might have been blown out of proportion. As wrong as it was for him to do that, and it was just disrespectful and kind of a jerk move. I just also feel at the same time maybe it was blown a smidgen out of proportion. I know Ryder, guy I watch on Twitter. I mean, I follow his feed. He was kind of saying sort of the same thing. I mean, I agree with everybody. It was very disrespectful to do that. But at the same time, I really feel like the social media is kind of just, really, really blown out of proportion. Gotcha. But that's just my unpopular opinion. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That is what social media tends to do from time to time.
Yeah. A little bit.
Sometimes.
Sorry to derail your news here.
No, you're totally good. So Really exciting championship there. Of course, I have to give a huge shout out to Baeza, who was the very first woman in the championship tournament. I mean, huge accomplishment there, and I hope we just see more of that.
Absolutely. So, props to her. Absolutely.
Everybody in that tournament deserved to be there, and I think it was just fantastic. And as we're gearing up for that championship, you probably know about this, but BlizzCon is coming up. The digital ticket could be your ticket in to the digital arenas, I guess. And they do this every year, but they are really blowing it up big time this year. They're going to have full broadcasts of every single event that is there at BlizzCon. So that's every panel that they do, every announcement that they have, the esports competitions that they have. Muse is going to be the band at the end, which should be fantastic. I've actually heard people say they don't know who Muse is. And as a musician, I kind of die a little bit inside when I hear that, because you should know who Muse is. They are good. And so all of that is going to be yours for $40. And then they always throw in some digital ticket goodies as well for each of the Blizzard games. So, you're going to get some flying co-op mounts in World of Warcraft, I think. I don't even get how that works, but it sounds like it's pretty cool. And they've got, for Overwatch, you're going to get a Winston skin, and a couple other things for heroes, but obviously you want to know what the Hearthstone goodie is, and it is a bit of a mystery, and I'm kind of more hyped and a little bit peeved because of it at the same time.
Right.
So they've told us that we're going to get a golden legendary. The problem is we have no clue which golden legendary. We don't know if it's one card that everyone's going to get. We don't know if it's a randomized golden legendary. They really have not said anything other than it is a golden legendary, and we'll find out, I believe, after the event. So I kind of did some scrounging, Scott. I want to hear what you think about all this. This is my just chemical lab, you know, testing, thinking, what could this possible, brainstorming, what could it be? And I know that they did this before with Elite Torn Chieftain, so everyone got that a few years back, which is cool, and you can't get it any other way other than having been at that BlizzCon. The other thought I had, because they could do another card that's just exclusive, but the other thought I had is they're going to be announcing the new set, the last expansion for the year at BlizzCon, and my thought was, wouldn't it be cool if they either made an exclusive that kind of tied in with the theme of that expansion, or what if they kind of gave a pre-release legendary from that set?
Okay. I don't know that. That pre-release, anything pre-release to me sounds great.
So you like that, huh?
Yeah. But I'm just, they didn't give us anything, not even a mana cost or anything. So it's kind
of. And when you think about, like, for those of us who are just Hearthstone players, $40 for a golden legendary, that is a steep, steep price. Yeah. You thought booster packs were eating your wallet. This is something altogether different. But, you know, it really is kind of a chance that you got to take either one way or the other, because you could miss out on it. So for me, I think $40 is just a little bit too high for me, honestly. Even though some of these other goodies are pretty cool, but I'll be interested to see what a lot of you guys get there. And in case you were wondering, the announcement for the next set is going to happen November 3rd at 1:45 Pacific time. They have come out with the schedule for BlizzCon as well as kind of the floor format. If you've seen that online, it's kind of interesting what they're doing there. But November 3rd is more than likely, I mean, 99.99%. We're going to find out what that last expansion is. So,
right.
Really excited to see that. Are you saving up your gold yet, Scott?
Already saving up. I have like right at 3K gold.
Holy cow.
I've already been the way I do to pay for the packs, bundle pack or whatever, is I start putting money in back ahead of time. Yeah, the pre-order. That's what it is. Thank you. I start putting that money back and getting it ready. And I start saving my gold and getting it ready, so when the day comes here, I can try to get, 100 packs or so. I don't know.
There you go. That's actually really smart. You can kind of preemptively get ready for it that way.
Yeah, because, it looks different. It seems different in my brain just to see it $50 all at once go, whereas if I kind of push back a little bit each month here and there, it doesn't feel so bad, I don't guess. I guess it's just in my head.
Well, I mean, there's that whole budgeting thing that seems like a wise idea, you know? So I think you're in the clear for wanting to do that. Well, that's awesome. Very last bit of news that we want to throw your way is about Nemzy Necrofizzle.
Yeah.
And the hype train could not be any bigger for this little gnome warlock. Right. So Nemzy is the latest alternate hero, and this is going to be for your warlock. So no longer is Gul'dan holding exclusive rights to your life tap here, but Nemzy Necrofizzle, and she's been in the artwork that we've seen before on the Bog Creeper and the Fen Creeper.
Right.
So she's that little gnome that's kind of on top of the Fen Creeper. I don't know what you call it.
It's kind of sitting on the shoulder, I guess you'd say.
Yes. She's munching on an apple or something like
that. She doesn't look very warlock, right? Isn't she supposed to be a slightly darker, I guess?
Yeah, I guess because she's you know, harnessing the powers of these demon-ish creatures, she probably is, but she does seem like a sort of a, almost like a tracer personality, where she's just chilling and along for the fun and the ride. I mean, it's kind of the most unlikely warlock you would think, but...
Right, well, that's
I'll probably leave that to my friend.
Well, when they mentioned that the art was of, she was already in some art, you know, I went and looked, and that's the first thing I said when I saw it. I was kind of confused and maybe thought I was looking at the wrong card. She looks a little more happier, and instead of, dark and kind of scary or creepy looking, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But either way it goes, I'm really excited about it. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get this with there being no... what is it, tavern brawls, or no, what do they call it around me? Fireside gatherings or whatever?
Fireside gatherings, yeah. So we do have to talk about this. This is how you'll get Nemzy. They're actually making you get out into the sun. No!
Oh, see, I love that. I love people. It's the social aspect of it, so that's not a big deal. I just don't want to travel to Colorado to have a, to get hey. The... To unlock it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely, man. I'm right there with you. I actually got to go to my very first fireside gathering, too. There was somebody here in Colorado Springs who started one up, and so I got to jump in, and it was a really small gathering, but it was fun just to connect with other people, and we played a ton of Hearthstone, obviously. So if you go to a fireside gathering, that it's not their very first time gathering, so they have to be an established tavern, then you will unlock... Nemzy, and they've said that is going to begin, I believe, October 17th, and there will be a way to get her through the taverns after this whole promotional era is over. So this isn't you have to find one in the next month or else you never get her.
Well, I'm assuming there's going to be like a paywall, right? They're going to want you to pay for the as like they did with the rest of the hero.
I don't know. I think that they're most of the portraits. Well, the portraits that you've gotten through promotional means, they seem to kind of keep it exclusive to that. So I think they'll probably keep Nemzy free through Fireside Gathering. I mean, it's a great incentive to get people out. I don't know many people who are like, Fireside Gatherings are stupid. You know, why would you ever want to get together with people who enjoy this game you enjoy and actually talk with them and play the game that you both enjoy, you know?
Right.
So, I think most people, it's like, I'd like to do that. I think this is just the little digital extra thing that kind of pushes you over the edge, you know? It's like, well, okay, I have to go now, you know? So I think they'll kind of keep that as an exclusive thing so that they can keep people going, you know? I don't know what that'll look like.
Well, I hope that's the case then, because then that makes it available to me, hopefully. Eventually, if I have to, I mean, I can just try to do a couple of the fireside gatherings here, you know, with just a few people that I know, just so we can all get the, you know, get them, do a couple of them or whatever is required after the promotion time is up. Maybe that's the design and the intention of it is to, for people like me that want to do it, that are just lazy, just to kind of put us in a bind where if you want it, here's the dangle this in front of you. You need to get out in your community and do some work.
And, you know, all of my friends who are hosts for Fireside Gatherings, they always talk about how it's not that much of a time commitment. It is way, way worth it, you know. So I think that we will see a lot of taverns start. I actually have seen quite a few. They're trying to get in their first meeting so that they can quickly have their second.
Right.
So they can
okay.
get Nibsy,
okay,
you know.
Yeah.
So definitely go and check out firesidegatherings.com, and you can search and find one that's near you. Another little shout out, if you'll be at DreamHack Denver, there is going to be a Fireside Gathering while we're there. So I am hyped to get Nemzy really quick here. It's going to be good. All right. Well, with that, we're going to pass on the news. And Scott, I'm going to let you kind of talk to us about something a bit on the technical side of things, wouldn't you say?
I would. So there's a certain aspect of the deck building or of Hearthstone in general that I really enjoy. Obviously, that's the tech cards. When I first started collecting my thoughts about what we were going to talk about, I was thinking I'm going to do a robust breakdown. We're going to look into the anatomy of what a tech card actually is. But I realized that's not me. All right. I'm not legendary. I'm not a legend player. I'm not even really ranked 5. Highest I've achieved is 6. And Andrew, I had to grind it out to get there.
Hey man, so, I feel you on that. So, that's no small accomplishment. Okay.
All right. So instead of, trying to speak like I have this great wisdom of all these tech cards or flex spots, and I just wanted to kind of keep it simple and just try to help people that are kind of like me or were like me when I first started, you know, rank 15, maybe rank 12 or so, just kind of discuss these things, talk about, hear your input, and see if we can give those people, I'm sure you have those listeners as well as the legend listeners as well, give them an idea of what tech cards are, kind of, how they can use them to win and how they're other people are using, to beat them as lower level, yeah. lower ranked players. So some people do like the arena, some people like deck building or high level competition, but this is something that's kind of simple, I think, that you can do to tweak your decks without having to just start all over or just net deck something completely different. It takes time, right? You come in,
absolutely.
you get smashed in the ground, and you're like, well, this is stupid. And you get mad and you get tilted and you're like, well, just go get another deck. And it just may need a little tweaking to adjust to what you're doing. Tech cards or just some of those built-in flex spots that you can actually put other cards in that aren't necessarily what you could call an actual tech card, which is another thing. I kind of struggled exactly nailing down what the definition of a tech card truly is. I've seen a bunch of different articles and YouTube videos, and they all kind of had different ideas. So for this one, though, I'll kind of explain what I think it is and see if that's what you think, and we can kind of talk that through and then talk about some of the cards. It can very easily win the games and give you big swings if you have the right stuff teched in. So I got an example I kind of prepared, and I picked this specific example because it brings up the fact to you just can't nail down exactly what the tech cards are. There's kind of room for your opinion, you know. So, I told you earlier I played Big Priest or what? Priest, right? So, in that deck, I got one from I think it was Wicked Good, and then I kind of moved some cards over when I started playing it in Wild. But the Lich King always got me just absolute crap. It would never do right for me. I would see people getting these good cards, but it was not happening for me. So I got a little frustrated, got a little tilted, as we all do, and kind of looked around a little while, and I settled on Nosdormu. I think is how you pronounce it. I think it's the dragon.
Yeah.
Gives you like 15 seconds or something like that.
On each turn. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Threw that in there, and so you're looking at turn 3 or 4, depending on if you have the corner, what your draws are. You can get him out, the 1/1, and then all of a sudden. They instantly have to make these hasty decisions. And if you know what that does to you, you've got to know. It's just all of a sudden you're just sitting there hanging out, maybe watching Twitch, and then all of a sudden in your Hearthstone monitor, the time's up, and you freak out. And you just do
time.
Right. And you hit them with something, you may Shadow Word, Pain, or Death, or whatever it is, and it gets rid of it, and you're like, yay, and then, turn 4, you resummon it. and then you've got the full 8-8 to deal with. So then they're like, well, and this is great for me because, you know, the Anduin Priest is a big deal right now, right? So he has to have time, though, to get all his combos off. And if you, earlier in the game, while you're trying to set up your win condition, if you waste some of those cards trying to get rid of other cards, you lose a few of your pieces you wanted to kind of machine gun your opponent down with. Or if they're trying to save up for some cool combo with like Spirit Lash and Wild Pyro or whatever they have, they can lose them just trying to get rid of something like that. And then on turn six, you hit them with a 5/5 of something out of your deck. And then after that, you can just kind of repeat with your resurrect spells, you know. And so the one card, it increased my win rate and kind of it made it easier for me to just close the games out rather quickly. Wow. And I know a lot very of listeners cool. listeners right now are like screaming, that's not a tech card. No, you're wrong. And I'm sure it's not. And I'm sure, you know, is it Alex Straza that brings you down to 15?
Uh-huh.
That's not a tech card. Maybe it is. I think, and maybe not so much because they're really good bodies and they're really good cards even without that. So, I mean, maybe they're not tech cards, but that's kind of, there's definitely an argument there to be made, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to argue. We're here to be happy, right?
And that's we're here right.
to talk about Hearthstone. So let's just not even go there. And if anybody wants to email me and tell me how wrong I am, I do not care. I will listen to you. We can talk. You can even.
You'd probably be happy to talk, wouldn't you?
Dude, I'm a talker. I told there you that. Go. I told you. All right. And don't be scared if you need to shut me down. Hey, man, ease in here and shut me
you
down.
You got this, man. Keep it going.
All right. So. So we've all been there. We've been in that situation. You know, we're everything's working as anticipated. We're getting our wins in. We're on a win streak. Then you hit your first set of losses. I don't know. Maybe it's a secret mage, right?
Sure.
And you don't know how to play around everything correctly, or you forget something, or maybe it's a burn mage using Alex Straza. And for me, that paladin with all the murlocs who always get the perfect curve. They
every
set you
time,
back, right?
It's guaranteed.
Yeah. Every time. I have got it a couple of times, and it felt so good, but I'm on the tilted side of things. But so what do you do then? I mean, are you just going to go back to the drawing board, just start over, go back to the internet, waste time net decking, or just scratch your deck and try to build your own? I think, you know, this is the best solution for the people that need to be efficient with their time. I think that just taking out a couple of cards and putting in something that will specifically target what you're hitting, I think it's probably the best way to just keep your games moving and keep them going when you're in a time frame, which I always am on a time frame. I don't know how it is for you.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have said that they don't like tech cards. I've seen some articles and I've heard people on Twitch and stuff. They say they're just too specific. They're, what have I heard, counterproductive to what you're trying to do. And I mean, I think they even do dilute the deck a little bit, taking away some consistency, but
sure.
And that can be a problem. And I have done it. I've went in there on my mid-range paladin or whatever, added a Black Knight, Eater of Secrets, Grok Caller, Crawler, added a Hungry Crab. You know, I was going crazy, but Andrew, guess how that went?
How did it go?
with that many tech cards, it did not go very well. It
I had a
worse
feeling.
And so I rage quit and I stopped playing for a few days. So you don't want to go overboard. You want to keep it simple. I wouldn't say any more than like what do you feel comfortable, Andrew? Maybe when you're doing your decks, like what, two or three tech cards? So like two of a set, like two crawlers and maybe two something else, or is that too much for you?
I would say that pretty much any deck can use one tech card. If there's something like, Pirate Warrior being oppressive, obviously Galactic Crawler is a pretty safe choice, right?
Okay.
And if Pirate Warrior is taking up 30 to 40% of the meta, and you got Token Shaman, which has pirates, and then Kalaseth Rogue has more pirates, you know, you're probably safe putting in one Galactic Crawler into any deck,
and
pretty
so
much.
You wouldn't put two in there.
You could, though. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I think that combo decks probably have the strongest case for not putting in tech cards because combo decks' win condition is getting to a certain amount of cards.
Okay.
And responding to your opponent isn't necessarily as good as drawing through your deck to get to the right stuff. Now, you know, other decks, well, aggro is just trying to hit you in the face. So it's typically the mid-range and the control decks, I think, that want the tech cards, which is a good majority of decks, too. But I think it's good to have these as options for any deck across the board based off of what's prevalent in the meta. And I think can go up to, I mean, I would say two to three is probably in a general deck. Now, in the Highlander decks, I think you can afford several, depending on what you're coming up against.
All right. Well, I can agree with you on that. Three is about right. So let's take a look at what would constitute calling something a tech card.
Okay.
I kind of want to see what you have, but as far as me, I wrote down this so I wouldn't forget this. I was thinking it has to do a specific thing or have a specific narrow target. Because otherwise it's just another card that's in your deck that's, you know, if it serves multiple purposes, I don't feel like that's a tech card. Usually I think they have underwhelming stats, and kind of what I wrote down was no target, no value. So sure. If you don't find that target and you're stuck with these cards, you're really not getting what you need out of it as opposed to what you would normally have in that spot. And, you know, you're removing it to make room for a tech card. So underwhelming stats. And it has, you know, something special to trigger it, or has to have that target. Anything you could add or change on that?
No, I think that's pretty right on, man. I mean, you know, you could say that there are, I mean, something like Antique Healbot back in the day, that maybe that was a tech card because there was so much aggro, so you just had to stay in the game.
Right.
But, you know, I think that large majority of them, you're specifically targeting something in what you see in the meta that's going to be able to allow you to respond and usually remove something from your opponent's board or deck, dependent.
Okay, well, I'm glad you agree with me, because everything else that I have to say is based on us agreeing on that.
It's right
definition.
On
that. So we have a podcast now. Ooh, all right.
That's good,
but
man.
Yeah,
I'm glad
but
to
what
hear
you
that.
Said at the very, very end there, you said it kind of reactive. I think that's another thing we could add. They're kind of reactive in nature,
sure,
would you say?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to go after and get them, you're kind of sitting back and waiting for them to play what you need, your target, then you can hop on and strike.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few kind of, I guess you, categories, I guess. So you have silence, minion removal, card removal, weapon removal, and secret removal. And these are kind of the things I see a lot of. I'll give you a few. I have a few examples written here. But you have class and neutral. Some classes get some good tech cards that have built in, like silence or something. What was that card they used to play for Druid that had a silence or do 2 damage? Was it Keeper of the Grove?
Yeah, Keeper of the Grove, yep.
Yeah, so some of them have them built in, but then some of them are just you can get them in the neutral, which means everybody can just stack whatever you want in there. So silence, you have like Knight's Champion, Ironbeak Owl. Do you remember you've got to remember the pre-nerf Ironbeak, right?
Oh yeah, that was just 2 mana, 2/1, yeah.
Yeah. Spellbreaker, which I like. I like Spellbreaker. I like the body and everything with that.
Sure.
Defias Cleaner was another one I looked through and saw. That used to get play was Earthshock for the Shaman.
Oh yeah, for Shaman. That was actually not aggro Shaman, since it was so cheap.
And I like that the way it worked, because it silenced it first, then it would do the damage. So if you had like the 1/1 with
Twilight
Divine
Drake
Shield, you could just kill it in one go.
Oh, or that,
You could stop their entire, you know, their starting hand. And Mass Dispel, which was the priest card. So all those. So we can kind of just talk a little bit about silence, and then kind of move on to the next ones, because I know we don't want to be here for 3 or 4 more hours.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
I mean,
silence. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I probably thinking the same thing, that silence is powerful, right?
Yes.
Just being able to shut up something on your opponent's side is very good.
Okay, so yes, like you said, just being able to shut something up. The two things I like to silence the most is a heavily buffed minion, or just something with taunt in the way. I see that a lot on the ladder. How about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think this is the one tech that Aggro will spring for so that they can continue charging forward, even if their opponent has a taunt or anything.
Right, right. What was you talking about? The Pirate Warrior earlier. So that's when I've seen put the Spellbreaker in, because right at the last minute, they're fixing they have Lethal maybe set up, and then they just plop down a really nice beefy taunt minion, and the silence just says no. Just outright says no to that. No thank you. Yeah, no thanks. And continues to go face, because from what I hear, that's the place.
So absolutely.
It just allows, that's how Mr. Hat says it, Ridiculous Hat. Face that's is right. the place. All right, so we can agree silence is very powerful, which is why I put it at the beginning of the conversation here.
Good call.
All right, I've got minion removal. So this is going to be your hungry your crabs, you know, the crawler, hungry crab. Also, I put in here, now you may want to tell me I'm wrong here, but what about the crazed alchemist to swap some? Kind of like a minion removal because of the zero, when it swaps it registers as being killed or dead or having no health.
Yeah, I think especially against Totem Shaman, if you see that become a thing, or really Token Shaman, I mean, he takes out anything with a zero attack, you know, so all of the Manatide Totems, the Flame Tongue Totems, they're dead with him.
And the pesky Doomsdayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Doomsdayer. So, one of the really strong
plays. I think in a little bit of I think in a weird way, it definitely can be classified that way. It's good.
All right. Okay. And then, of course, the Black Knight. So,
yes.
The Black Knight always triumphs. He's
he does.
he's last season. Because the Spike Ridge Steeds and everything were coming in. I threw him in there, and man, he was doing some work.
Yeah, I think it was really the top of the season that he was really all over the place. He wasn't all over the place. Well, he was just someone that made a lot more sense than
I guess
you
remember
he used to.
So the thing from below, okay?
Right.
And then, of course, everybody has Tyrion. And I remember thinking there's just a lot of taunt. It seemed like every deck had at least one that they were playing. Then there was the Taunt Warrior, the Quest Warrior.
Yep.
Of course, you can use that.
Well, and don't forget the Bone Mare buff also.
Oh, yeah, Bone Mare. And then, you know, we have the 1-4 Defender, Stonehill Defender, and he's getting people ridiculous cards off of that.
Right,
so
right.
He comes out, and you don't use it on him, but when they play the card that they drew, then you get some value out of it, because they were getting some really cool, good cards off of it. I kind of got BGH. Remember when Big Game Hunter?
Oh man, old school.
Yes. What about MCT, the mind control tech? He's kind of removable, but in a better way, because he puts him on your side. And then the last thing I had was the Kodo, which I was wondering if he and MCT were even tech cards by our definition that we agreed on, because they're actually got some solid bodies. What's wrong with turn three, Andrew, dropping a 3/3 just to put a body on the board?
Oh, no, it's very strong. And, you know, the only other one that I might throw in here, too, is Dirty Rat.
Oh.
And that's not necessarily a minion removal. It's more like an effect removal, you know. It can be very powerful when you get something out. Up.
But it doesn't
take care of the minion, and it actually could hurt you, but that's why Dirty Rat's a brilliant card.
Yeah, you're weighing your options out, but yeah, that's a solid pick. I don't know how it got past me, but the just nullifying their Battlecry, taking a combo piece from the Anduin Priest, you know, that has all his pieces set up so he can just use his low-cost spells
If you get Raza out of his hand, you're looking pretty good.
Oh, yes, yes. The dream. Okay. All right. That's it. Unless you can think of any other ones like that I was going to move on to card removal, which is a new one that showed up. All right.
Okay.
Hemet Nessing Way. Removes all your cards, right? But they found a way. Did you see the decks that they're playing? And Ridiculous Hat talked about it, where they get rid of all their cards, and then they down to a certain set so that you can draw into the new Benedictus a card, and then you just take their cards and put them in your deck, and all these
shenanigans. Yes, I have heard about that. Yeah, I want to play that because it sounds crazy. It just sounds too crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's way above my rank. So that's another thank you to that. That'll be. I mean, I opened that Benedictus whatever card, but no.
Mm-mm. That's awesome.
What about Nomefratu?
Yeah,
that's interesting card, and it's it. When I first heard y'all, you know, Hearthstone, Happy Hearthstone, do your breakdown of the cards and a few others, nobody really thought it was a big deal because they said it was just the same thing as it being at the bottom of your deck. But when you see that card burn up in front of your eyes, you can't just sit there and tell me that it's the same thing. It just kind of infuriates, you know, when you burn, especially if you burn a card you wanted or needed, like you just said, Raza or somebody.
Right.
You tilt, and you try not to, but you tilt, and then they're emoting you on the other side.
I mean, right, and the tilt isn't all. Like, I think I remember saying this on the review, and I still stand by it today, that it all depends on what she discards from the opponent's deck.
True.
Because if it's Archmage Antonidas in a Quest Mage, they can't win the game, really. They might, but they have a much lower chance because you threw that in there. And I think, especially if combo decks how do you even say that word? Is it prevalent? Prevalent?
I think it's prevalent, right? Prevalent, maybe?
Whatever it was. I don't know. If there's a lot of combo decks out there, I think that Nomefratu might actually have a place because you're more than likely going to be able to burn something. And I mean, worst case, she's a vanilla minion. That's fine, you know?
Yeah. Well, I did see someone playing her in combination with, and I do not know the card, but it's a new one, that every time you draw a card yourself, you discard a card. No, every time it takes damage, you discard one of your cards, but they send it over to the other side of the board and start hammering it.
Oh, and that's the treachery,
Yes, that is it. That's the combo, and then they start getting hammered, then you're hitting with the Nomefratu, and then the next thing you know, they're rage quitting.
It's like a mill lock.
Bad decisions. Yes.
Yeah, it hasn't become really a meta thing, but it does seem like a really cool deck, I think.
I've seen a guy on Twitter named Salty. He does it because he's just so mad at Druid right now that he has every right to be. So I'm not knocking him for that, but I like watching him play, and him, he'll just me and him were crossing our fingers, like, please discard something that, you know, they need. And it's actually fun. I don't know how well it did for him percent wise on the ladder, but it's a fun deck to watch. He has to have fun just burning their cards away. What about Skulking Geist?
Well, speaking of hating Druids, I mean, this is a really interesting one because when we saw this, this removes all one cost spells from both decks, right? And when we saw it, it was like, oh, obvious, this eats up all the Jade Idols, so this is great. But I don't know about you, Scott, but my experience is that this card doesn't, like, it doesn't take the feet out under, wow, I cannot talk today. It doesn't just chop off the legs underneath the Jade Druid. Like, I've seen plenty of Jade Druids still win games, even if Skulking Geist was played earlier.
Right.
You know, it certainly takes them maybe one step back, but I don't think it debilitates them at all.
Yeah, I don't think it had quite the effect everyone was hoping. It is something worth noting, like you said, it's all one cost spells. It's not just the opponent.
Right.
I've played it before and conceded instantly when I realized I just, you know, lost some of my cards.
Man.
And then I ended up taking it back out. It looked good. I thought it was good, and everybody's reviews were saying it's okay, let's try it, and did not get the results. So I'm with you. Not so good. It was a good try, but if you're going to want to fix the Druid, it's either going to have to be in the Ultimate Infestation or the actual golems themselves. I don't know what they would do, but I don't think that the nerf to Hex fixed the Druid like they hoped it would, sarcastically saying.
Yeah, no,
you should have just actually fixed the card you was wanting to instead of messing with other cards. So
I'm really thankful that I do think we see a much more diverse meta than we did beforehand. So regardless of kind of the, you know, where the power lies and stuff, we've got a lot more different decks playing than we did beforehand.
Yeah, and
always a good thing.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty good right now. I say that, you know, being a little mean towards the Hearthstone developers and stuff, but
sure.
But I mean, you're right. It's actually in a good spot, and I'm, like I said, we talked a little bit before getting things ready. I'm doing fine with the Raza Priest. I'm not the Razaka Priest. Yeah.
Right,
and I'm not
right.
a great player, and it's helping me in getting through all that stuff just by playing that deck. So I can't argue. I mean, some people are even saying that that's the new deck that they're tilting and needs to be fixed. And I'm thinking, you can't go around trying to say every deck that's hot and is the new hotness is the deck that needs to be fixed.
Right. Right.
They can't just constantly be doing this to all the cards. So, I mean, I think it's in a good spot. And we will leave it at that and kind of move on to the next category, or I will have you here for
two
more hours. Weapon removal. Weapon removal. And it's either removing a swing from it, the durability, or it's removing the weapon altogether. And I do have a question for you when I get to it in here, so be ready. I'm going to throw one back to you again. But so we have Acidic Swamp Ooze, which is the basic one that I see a lot of. Don't see the Toxic Sewer Ooze much for me.
No.
And the other one I do see a lot of course, the Blood Cell Corsair. So as far as the Blood Cell Corsair and Harrison Jones, they got good bodies. Do you think they're even a tech card?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't think that having a overvalued sense negates whether it's a tech card or not, especially for these guys where they are doing something so specific. You know, they're targeting something very real. I mean, Harrison is interesting because you would see him, especially I think in old school control warrior decks, like wallet warrior decks. He was kind of the draw mechanic for those decks in a lot of ways too. So he fills kind of a dual purpose, but I think that he and Bloodseal Corsair are both, they're doing something very specific to target something against your enemy. Although Bloodseal Corsair is used across the board as just a patches retriever. You know, it's crazy to me. I didn't think that he would ever see meta, but throw in a free 1/1 with charge and that does the trick.
That question was on my mind I was going to ask you, patches rotates out, do we see Bloodseal anymore?
I think that that's a fair question, and I don't know. I don't think so.
I think not. I'm with you. I feel like, you know, people would rather just get rid of the entire weapon instead of just knocking, you know, I mean, Pirate Order, they usually have, when they keep upgrading and stuff and getting +1/+1, you're not achieving a whole lot. So I think, I mean, I'm going to say no, but Acidic Swamp Ooze is always just a safe bet. You know, you can throw it in there, and if you need to early, you can put that body on the board. And it can sometimes do some work or pull out some removal if they're scared you're getting too big of a start on them. They'll just pull out one of their removal cards, and I think that's a win.
When you think about it, what are the weapons that you're really trying to counter right now with Bloodseal Corsair? Maybe the Rogue Hero Power, but that's not really something you need to counter.
Right, so...
I don't think we're going to see Bloodseal Corsair after that. We could see new weapons, so I could totally eat my words.
Oh, man, you think we're going to get some good weapons next?
I hope so. We've been holding out on Rogue for a long time now, so...
Yes, yeah. Well, they got a weapon I've seen, but it's not good. It's not what it needs to be. I would love to, because Rogue is one of my most unplayed and unliked class, so... I feel like a new weapon would be cool, like a new toy for me to come in there and play with and try them out. I've recently opened up the legendary, the 2/2 that you get the combo and it gives plus to everything, like +2.
Yeah, Prince Kaliseth?
The Rogue.
Oh, legendary. Edwin Van Cleef.
Edwin Van Cleef, thank you. How could I forget? Mm-hmm. And when I got it, I started playing Rogue and liked it, but it's still... my least played, and I think a weapon or something, maybe something really, really neat like that would could get me to just jump in full full fledged and start, you know, swinging for face with it.
I'm still holding out hope. I think we'll get it.
Yeah. Let's see. I think we can just go ahead and move on from weapon removal.
Okay.
But secret removal, which is one of my favorite ones. I loved the Kazan Mystic from back in the day.
Oh, yeah, man.
You didn't just remove it. You took it. You gained control.
That felt dirty.
Oh, man. It felt good and bad at the same time because you broke their spirits and their soul when the priest, the mage is like, you can't kill me, right? Because I have my...
My ice block.
Yeah, my ice block's up. And they're like, come at me, bro. And then you're
done.
Oh, man, I loved it. And also that mana cost and health and attack. What was it? 3 mana, 4/3?
I think it was a 4 mana, 4/3.
4 mana, 4/3. I like that. I've always liked that design spot, that space. So isn't there like that animated armor card for the warrior or something like that?
Sure,
Four mana, it's the four, same four. Spot. The And then the new bear shark. Which is so cool. Has that same sort of, you know, 4/3. I love that's like a little, I don't know, for some reason I like the cards that are in that spot and I don't understand why.
It's all good.
Some people love the bombs, you know, the 10 drop dragon that, you know, Deathwing. But for me, it's something simple like that a 4/3 that can't be targeted by spells. That's just super intriguing to me.
Sure.
So I hit, of course, I went there, and then the big one that seen play when I guess it was last season and maybe this season too was the Eater of Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing I threw in there with my Black Knight in that Paladin, the Murloc Paladin was because you could take their secrets, and you could also try to get that eye for an eye and wreak havoc on a mage, and there was a lot of them I was running into myself.
That's awesome.
This is another one though, Flare. What about Flare?
Ah, yeah, the lesser known one.
The lesser known one. And that's for the class. Remember I said there's some in our class specific, but it's 2 mana. How do you feel? I don't think that, has it even seen play at all?
You know, some fringe. I mean, it draws you a card also. And if any enemy minions have stealth, they lose it. So there's a few utilities. I think the stealth thing is really a fringe case. So generally, it's a card.
I could still feel like it is a tech card, even though it does kind of have a utility there, like a Swiss Army knife of spells.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember, like, I'm asking because I wasn't this far back, but do you remember,
okay,
like the history of or some early examples of some tech cards? Because, you know, I came in, I never saw or heard of or knew about the Elite Torn Chieftain giveaway.
Right.
So before that in the Secret Hunter, I'm kind of trying to remember all that. Do you remember some good solid tech cards or some instances for some cards?
Well, other than Alpha, there hasn't ever been a time when cards were removed from the game, and I wasn't even playing back then, so I can't remember that. But my big recollections are in the cards that are considered tech cards that have been nerfed since then. So, you know, we mentioned Ironbeak Owl earlier. It used to be a 2 mana, 2/1 that silences a minion. Now it's a 3 mana, 2/1 that silences a minion, and I think that's just because of the value of getting silence out early on in the game, you know, or it's not necessarily early on, it's it being in such a compact package. So, you know, on your turn 6, you could, or turn 7 is actually a better example. You could use the 2 mana Ironbeak Owl to silence a taunt and then still play Leeroy and be able to hit him for 6 and win or something like that. So just a little bit more, really Ironbeak Owl doesn't see a lot of play now because it's pretty overcosted for the body that you're getting. Spellbreakers much, you know, much more palatable for you. And then the other big one was the Big Game Hunter that you mentioned. That used to be a 3 mana 4/2 that takes down a minion with 7 attack or more. Now it's 5 mana. So 3 to 5 mana is a big jump because if you want to talk about value, I mean, 3 mana 4/2 is fair. 5 mana 4/2 is that's really not much there. So
yeah. So any more notable ones that even if maybe they weren't nerfed or changed in any way that you can remember?
Oh, man. Those are the big ones I can think of. I mean, Big Game Hunter used to be in every single deck, you know, and right. I think there were a lot more giants back then. I mean, Handlock was a huge thing. So even just having one Big Game Hunter could save you so often.
And I did leave that out. I like the Handlock. I like the Warlock also, as well as the Paladin. Those are some really fun times too. I have a note I wanted to ask you something else. What about the Cabal Songstealer, Lotheb?
Yeah.
And there might have been one more. Those are, I feel like they're tech cards, but it's a 5/5 for 5, and it, I mean, Lotheb, for instance, I mean, you're not necessarily teching against a specific thing. It's just anybody's spells, so mm-hmm. is it even a tech card?
Well, back when Lotheb was in standard play, it absolutely was a tech card, and that's because combo druid was a thing. So, you know, people would play Force of Nature and Savage Roar, and they'd, you know, the whole game, all they were trying to do was get you down to 12 health so that they could kill you with that combo.
Right,
but Lotheb
right.
was able to stall you for one more turn. If you played Lotheb and you thought that they would have what they needed to kill you, it could save you so that you could, you know, create a few more taunts or heal up over a couple turns or something like that. So Lotheb, it messes up your opponent. And whether that's intentional with something like Combo Druid, where you're very particular about the turn that you're playing him, mm-hmm. or honestly, I mean, like you said, he's a 5-mana 5/5, and you're going to mess up your opponent potentially. I think it's still right. fair to call him a tech card. Is he the shiny example of it? Probably not, but that's okay.
Yeah, and the reason I asked it was because it's kind of like it's punishing a play, because they're trying to go wide and you see what they're doing and then you understand
mm-hmm.
that they're what their goal is and that they're at the point where they're ready to do that.
Exactly.
But it's not really targeting specifically an exact thing. That was the only thing. I mean, you wasn't just targeting one or two cards. You just, you know, jacked up every spell in their entire hand, so it kind of seemed more broad, and that's why I brought it up. But I see what you're saying, and I can agree with that. Cabal Song Stealer. Mm-hmm. What about that one?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to the question of, does overvalue really matter? And I don't think it does. Cabal Song Stealer will silence something, and that's going to help you out. I think that's a fair, you know, deduction for a tech card, even though 5-mana 5/5 is probably the best stats for a silence minion that exists.
Right. Okay, well, so with that, we can just kind of real quick hit the, what did I have, 4, 5 topics, just super quick. I want to run through a simple instance of where you would want to put them in your deck for people that don't understand. We went over them and what they are and what they do, but now, how would I use it? So, like, silence, like you said, taunts, that's a big thing. But even better than that is if they're buffing something with a Spike Ridge Steed, if they're buffing something with their Bone Mare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they're buffing something, I feel like that would be, and you're seeing this a lot, you're running into a lot of paladins, and really a lot of classes are even putting Bone Mare that don't even have any business running them. They're just throwing them in there.
It's a good card.
and they're winning games, and it's doing work. So if you come across patches like those two things, really is really what I would see it for. Any other instance you would see putting silence in there?
I think you hit most of it, man. I mean, I guess Silence Priest is the only thing, but that's a win card.
So I feel like the number one thing is, if you're seeing a lot of buff minions and death rattle stuff, maybe throw them in there. And then again, if a quest warrior like the Taunt Warrior gets popular again, maybe something like that. So mm-hmm. what about minion removal? That's going to be clear and simple, because the both of the crabs do exactly what they say. And they're specific and they're easy to do. You know, these aggro decks, they're going to run a pirate, and these paladin decks are going to run a murloc, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty simple. If you're not, if you're trying to figure out what to do with them, easy. The Black Knight is also the same thing. It's just a taunt minion, no big deal. Maybe a little harder to decide if you want to put in a crazed alchemist, but if the control decks come out and they're like what the freeze mage will use it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You can throw them in there. Now that mind control tech, that one I'm not sure. I guess if it's only if it's aggro heavy.
Yeah, or it could be a wide thing like token shaman okay. is right now. You know, if they're okay. they're just trying to put a bunch of stuff on their board, mind control tech can steal something from them. And even if it doesn't help you necessarily, it slows them down a bit.
All right, so that's a good instance for that. All right, what about card removal? That seems like you couldn't just throw it in. I feel like maybe the card removal, you need to have a deck designed to work with these. Except for the Skulking Geist you can drop in when you're trying to do whatever it is you're trying to do with him. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, he's targeting a specific win condition, you know, and Jade Idols are the big one right now, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Gnome Ferratu and Hemet, you got to really know what you're doing. And if you're listening and you're getting stuff from this, probably not what you want to dive into. So just kind of put those at the back of your mind. But and weapon removal, I don't even have Harrison Jones yet, to be honest. I haven't opened him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm suspecting there's a lot of people that haven't either. You'd probably be surprised at some of the people that don't have that yet. I would just say just only put the Acidic Swampies in there. And I wouldn't Absolutely. Worry about the others. Acidic Swampoos would be just because you're trying to get rid of something super heavy. If I think towards the end of the season, you'll see a lot of Pirate Warrior with their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just get tired of getting hit in the face, you'll throw the Swampoos in there. That's a super simple thing to do that can turn some of your games around.
Oh, and don't forget the Gluttonous Ooze also.
Oh, my goodness. Andrew, how did that happen?
Hey, I forgot it also.
Could you go ahead and just explain the Gluttonous Ooze real quick?
Yeah, the Gluttonous Ooze is a 3-mana 3/3 that destroys the opponent's weapon, and then you gain armor equal to its attack, I believe.
Yes. So, I don't think that's seen any play either, but I guess if... No, I would just not do it. Not even use it. I don't know how I forgot but I would. That's like the second or third card you've brought up to me that I have left off.
Hey, man, that's why we need each other, okay?
I am not prepared.
Yeah. No, but Gluttonous Ooze is great, especially against those Pirate Warrior matchups, because you'll gain some armor in addition to taking out something that they're trying to just kill you really fast with.
Right, and I guess if you don't have the Swampoos either, whatever, you could just use that instead. That would be, you'd get the same result, so... and then the secret removal, I don't even know if it's worth playing any secrets or removal right now, because you can kind of play around what you know they have, which is always their ice block or their ice barrier.
I did it's nice to have, especially against like aggro, or if you're playing an aggro deck, to be able to skip past the ice block if you need to or something.
And that one is also knowing when to play it, because sometimes it might be better to play it earlier if you can get like two or three secrets if it's juicy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just take them and figure out some other way to win if you know they're going to have the ice block or two or three or four.
Yeah.
Or however many ice blocks they get because they do that now.
Right.
So that's... I'm not even going to worry about Flare because you had said that was just really... out of it. I do have a question for you, though, kind of rounding out everything.
Sure.
So far, what is your favorite card from this release?
Ooh, from Frozen Thrones? Yes. Definitely Glacial Mysteries.
Really?
Okay. I'm just kidding. I just okay. want to make Steve mad with that. That's all.
I was like, what is this?
I'm just totally kidding. Actually, my favorite card is one that's not necessarily great. I just love the design space that it opens up. And it's something you mentioned earlier, actually, is Treachery. It's the Warlock spell for 3 mana that you choose a friendly minion and give it to your opponent. And like you said, people are using that in tandem with Howlfiend and Gnome Ferratu to kind of do a mill lock thing. I think that if we see one or two more creatures that could be really used well with this Treachery, I think that we'll see some cool archetypes come from that. So I'm really eager to see that.
Yeah, and I like how when they first reviewed the card, kind of people were thinking that it was crazy, and they never really thought about, well, let's just give it to our opponent and then make him take all the damage. I didn't myself see that coming at all. I agreed with everyone, and I was like, yeah, why would you do that? I don't understand their point, but I guess the design team and them, they know they have a little bit of an idea what they're doing.
Absolutely.
For me, since you asked, my favorite my favorite card, I was thinking about going with something obvious, like one of the Death Knights. But I thought that was the easy way out, and I'm thinking, you know, just in case Andrew asks me, I have a card ready. I think the Bear Shark.
Oh, nice, man. Just Steve's going to love you.
I mean, it's simple. I guess you could say it's elegant. You can't, so you drop it, you know, you put it out there, and they have to damage it with minions on the board, because that early in the game, when you play it, if you can play it on curve, they're not getting rid of it with the AoE, because usually they don't do the full amount of damage, so you can't target it. So what are they doing? They're leaving it up until you hit it for the next turn four, which every hunter always has, which is the Houndmaster. And even though the attack's not four anymore, the priest still can't target it, right? Because you can target with your battle cries, right? Mm-hmm. You just can't target with spells. So right. I just like that card. Again, it was my this the design space that I thought was neat, and I like that card. And I played it a pretty good bit, and it was pretty successful for that space that it's put into. I can't remember what I removed, but I wasn't displeased with the trade out. So I'm pretty sure that's everything I was kind of wanting to ask you and talk to you about. If you want to kind of take the reins back from me and let me get some water here. And
yeah, there's one more thing I'll throw in, especially if we have any listeners who are thinking through, like, I want to try this tech guard thing. I've heard about it. I'm sort of trying my hand at building a deck, you know. One trick I've always used when I'm trying these tech cards is that I'll play the game with it. And as I'm playing with it, I'll think about what card I gave up in order to put that in. And I'll ask myself, am I happier with this card that I have rather than the one that I took out? You can sort of imagine having that old card in your hand. Would I have better plays? And then you just have to make a judgment call. You're never going to be able to get 100% of the time that your tech card is exactly right on the money. You know, I think that's why Lotheb was so powerful, is that even though he was kind of targeting some specific stuff, it was always just fine to play, you know. But a Galaka Crawler,
right?
Well, I guess that's fine to play too. But you've got other ones, Skulking Geist, for example, that, man, that's overcosted, you know. Just think through that. Think about what else would I be happier if I had that in my hand. And then if over several games, like I'm talking like 5 to 10 games, somewhere around that, you're still thinking, man, I wish I had X in my deck instead of this, then you can go back and try that out. And, you know, it's okay. Tech cards shift and they change, so don't feel like a failure if you chose the wrong one. You may have chosen the right one, it's just that things have shifted now.
Yeah, and then just because you've put that tech card in doesn't mean you can't take it right back out.
Hey, how about that, huh?
Add an extra one if you want to put two. If you're getting success, you know, getting what you wanted out of it, you can maybe put two. You know, it's one of those flex spots that you're putting the tech card into, probably most likely anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a card that's not necessary. So don't be scared to, if you only win four games and then it goes bad again, take it back out again. And kind of figure out what else. Ask some friends. I'm going to give my battle tag out towards the end. Message me if I'm on and ask me. I'll try to give you what limited knowledge I actually have about whatever it is you need help with. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. I really appreciate the time and the thought that you put into this. I mean, tech cards kind of seem like a simple thing, but really, like, I don't know, you're kind of putting a fire in my belly to go back and really try my hand at some deck building and some shifting and stuff like that. I mean, even if you get all of your deck ideas from the internet, which is okay, you can go and you can shift it a little bit based off what you're seeing, you know, and I just love that. So it's good stuff, man. Well, we're going to move on to the community section, and we didn't have any questions this week, but I did want to give a quick shout out to my friends who emailed in. I said at the end of the last episode, I'd give you some extra entries. I also just want to thank those of you who took some time to boost my ego a little bit. No, I'm just playing. To just tell me what you enjoyed. I mean, seriously, like, I know I say it every episode, but feedback is so essential for any for any podcast content creator to know that what they're creating is valuable for other people. So it really meant a ton that you guys went through just telling me what you enjoyed, what you thought could be a little bit better. I hope that you guys don't stop doing that, because seriously, I love hearing it. And I just wanted to shout out those people who did that. So Ben, Callum, Dustin, James, Zach, Drew, Billy Drew, I think that's your name. We had Pontus, Michael, Ben, Ranma. Is that right too? I believe that's right. And so I just wanted to thank you guys seriously for taking the time. That meant a ton. Even though you had something in it for you, you know, I will bribe you with contest entries to get that out of you. But thank you guys so much. Also, we had a couple of iTunes reviews come in and wanted to read those and thank you guys. We had one called Perfect by Spinal Rabbit. That's as high as an accolade as it gets. And Rabbit wrote, finally a Hearthstone podcast that talks about Hearthstone. Andrew spends most of his podcast talking about cards, decks, the meta, etc. You know, things you want to hear about in a Hearthstone podcast. Well done, sir. I think I'm flattered by that, Spinal Rabbit. So thank you so much for that.
Well, you should be. That's some podcasts may get off track a little bit, but
it's true.
You know, it happens.
The ways that we get off track, I like to think, are a little bit more. Just IRL getting to know each other stuff, but I do try to keep a tight ship because I know how easy it is to get off track, and it's fun for some podcasts, but I'm glad that you appreciate that, man. Also, we got one from BimaK2753. Dude, I've seen you around, but I don't know if you're BimaK or BMac. I feel like we've been internet friends for a really long time, and I've never actually said your name out loud. So there you go. But he writes, name as described. Stopped listening to one of the other Hearthstone podcasts because they are kind of salty and negative. This one definitely lived up to its name, and I really enjoyed the happy and positive feedback from Andrew. Dude, thank you so much, man. You know, you heard it from Josh last week and last time in the 100th episode. There's plenty of salt out there, so we try to keep things positive, and I hope you guys really enjoy that. You know, Scott, one way that you could keep us all happy right now...
Oh, no.
...is by introducing our card of the week, you know?
Oh, so...
You've been preparing for this, man. Tell us what's up through your bard's tone. Tell us, man.
All right, give me 1 second. I'm going to unplug these headphones so I can... hear my background music, and then we can. I will go.
Okay.
I need to know that when I'm scared, you'll be there. 'Cause if you'll stick around, all them taunts they're going down, screaming tech cards just aren't fair. I don't care what's in my way. I'm gonna play my Black Knight. Used to think you were safe behind the taunts, but now I gotcha thinking twice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, that was awesome. Come on, man. You gotta stand tall with your golden microphone and drop it, okay?
All right, well, it has been dropped.
Talk to us about the Black Knight.
Okay, so I love that card. That card is did so much work for me. That card, as soon as I put it in, I was instantly happy, and it never came back out to the very end of that season. And I want to say somewhere around rank 8-ish, which for me, you know, like I said, that's pretty good. I can get to 10, and that's probably where I stop. So going ahead and pushing through to rank 8 that season. That helped me out. Man, it was just targets after targets. And I'm drawing a blank now, but I know Thing from Below, Tyrion, Spikeridge Steed. And there was another class that was playing, and I can't remember if it was... Where's my... Tell me some more classes, Andrew. Rattle off a few classes. Mage.
I mean,
I'm trying
Rogue,
to...
Shaman, Druid.
Shaman was even... had the Thing from Below, but some
Warrior,
of them...
Warrior.
Yeah, Warlock. Warrior. The Shaman was even playing that Death Rattle, the one that like summons a 10-10 into your deck. Can you remember what that was?
Oh, White Eyes, yeah.
Yes, and man, they never saw that coming. And one time I was getting some help from one of the people in the community, like not Wicked Good, but maybe like it was one of those guys. They had just, you know, offered to help me for free. And when I they were watching them, they were helping me play, and they did something, and it got back into my hand somehow through one of my secrets or something. And then they had the second one, and he was sitting there telling me they've got it and they're scared to play it. They have another thing from below. They have something. And they did. They played the taunt, and I smashed him again. So I was getting double the value out of him that turn. So
wow.
It was just all kinds of work. Did great. Love it. And you know you know where the card kind of – the design or whatever comes from, right?
From World of Warcraft? Oh, and from Monty Python originally.
Yes, yes. Okay, so there's another reason to like it, right? So you've got a great reference to probably one of the greatest comedies. Maybe it's debatable, but I loved it. I've watched it probably 12 or 15, 16, I don't know, a lot. The Black Knight Always Triumphs, that whole scene had me, when I was a teen, just busted my side open, laying on the ground, rolling the floor, just almost in tears. So I saw the card, and you read the flavor text and the things he says. It's just a win for me. So that's why I went with that card, and it worked perfectly with deciding to talk about the tech card. So that's all I got. I don't know if you have anything about if you even use the use him or not.
You know, I think he's a sneaky tech card because he's often forgotten. I would say Harrison Jones probably falls in the same category. Like, you don't see him much now. But Black Knight is a good one to keep in your back pocket. I mean, especially, you know, these are legendary tech cards, so it's okay if you don't have them. But Black Knight used to be something that was used a lot, and I think that we'll see him come back to a point. So I'm really glad that you brought him up. The only other thing I'll say is if you throw him in an evolved deck, he likes to be evolved because he's that 6-mana 4/5, right. But then he's something else. So yeah. Good little combo there.
Didn't think about that, but that's another good thing he's got going for him.
Yeah, and I will shout out to my friends of Velen's Chosen. They've been doing lore segments at the end of each episode, and they did one recently on the Black Knight. So,
Andrew, those are
definitely
so good.
Go check that out. Listen to it. Yeah, I can. I'll link to that episode in the show notes. So if you want to go hear more about the Black Knight, and Eve is just a freak when it comes to knowing all the wild stuff. I learned so much from listening to her and the rest of the team.
I'm very, very happy that they decided to do that. I know that that goes against talking about Hearthstone because you're talking about the Warcraft lore, but it's very interesting for me to listen to at work. So I know that that the instance that I mentioned earlier, they do a lore segment too, but it's not quite what she's doing, and I really enjoy it. So they props out to them for doing that.
Absolutely. Well, good choice, man. Well, we're going to go ahead and close up the show. I've got quite a bit of different stuff for you today. I don't like to say that episodes are very different unless they really are. So there's a lot different to this closer. I really want to start out by telling you guys something that I'll get more into later. But I want you to really feel this, that you are the happy Hearthstone. If you're listening to this right now, you're a part of this community, and you really are what this show is all about. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that a big change has come over the past couple weeks, and it was not well timed with the 100th episode and everything, but it was bigger than me, obviously. So our host site, MMO Reporter, has decided to close up shop. And I really briefly want to tell you guys, Chris and his team over there have been so phenomenal. And I've just been so thankful for how they helped me through the whole transition and how they've been hosting the show since I've been here. And I've decided I really need to release a separate update for you guys outside of this episode so I can fill you in on everything that's going down. I promise you that even though it's sad that MMO Reporter is shutting down, it's the right choice for him, for his family. And the great news is that the Happy Hearthstone is going to continue. And we're actually going to have some opportunities that we haven't had before. So I really want to implore you to stay tuned to my Twitter feed, also our Google+ community. And I'm going to send that update. I hope this week it'll be as soon as I possibly can. But I'll have more info for you guys in the future. But I don't have my normal plugs here because we won't be having those going forward. But I do have other plugs that are always going to be there. And that's about feedback, like I said earlier. I really want to know what you guys thought of this show, what you'd like to see added. And you can hit me up in a number of different ways. Twitter's one of the best ones. You can follow me at Andrew Is Living, or you can follow the show at The Happy HS. I've started tweeting out some fun memery things that I hope you guys enjoy on there. So definitely go and check that out. Also, our Google Plus community is a great place to share deck ideas, funny videos. If you're looking for just people to talk with online about the game, it's a great place to go. And also, you can email me directly at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. If you're interested in being a co-host on the show, like my good friend Scott here, please hit me up on there, and I'd love to schedule you out for that. So, Scott, how can people get in touch with you and tell you that you were wrong about the definition of a tech card?
All right. Yes, please. Please contact me through any of these social media platforms. Instagram is stray_dog. That's 2 underscores between stray and dog.
Now I gotta Twitter, ask, why 2 underscores?
Something happened. I had changed it, but I misspelled it, and I tried to get it back.
Oh no!
And it wouldn't. I couldn't get the 1 underscore. I couldn't get the original way.
Oh,
so I was stuck. But Twitter worked out a little better. I got @straydoghs. So, I don't necessarily say follow me, but you can, if you want to chat with me and or shoot me a message through the messenger. The biggest thing I'd like to pimp out on here is my battle tag, Stray sure. Dog, #1963. Please add me. I won't bother you. I'll be respectful, I guess you say.
Yeah.
But if you can always harass me, I do not care. I will talk to you, chat with you. Even if I'm on mobile, I'll try to answer your questions or chit chat or challenge you or help you, whatever. I just, I love the game and I don't mind people. I don't find it bothersome at all. I did start a new YouTube channel, kind of figuring it out. I'm learning things.
Nice.
But the reason I did is because, the Worthy Opponent podcast kind of went away, and they were one of the ones that helped me the most, learning. Because they broke it down for people that didn't know any terminology, didn't know what OP, didn't know what one drop meant, didn't know what board clear. So I learned a lot, and I thought, they're gone. I looked around. A lot of the YouTube videos are older ones, kind of dated. So kind of did my own. It has an intro guide. I'm going to just cover the tutorial, but it's mainly for people who don't know anything, like I was. No background in Pokemon, no background in Magic the Gathering, no background in any of that stuff. So I do everything. I put any terminology I use, I put it in the description. I put all the definitions for it, the words used, and why. I try to really break it down for the new player.
Dude, that is very cool.
I understand that, not everybody needs that, and maybe there's somebody does it better. But if you're hearing this, you can try it, and you can tell me if you don't, if it's not good or if the quality is good. I can change everything. I'm trying to edit it out and go back and do those anyways, any input. But it doesn't even cover not trading it. I'm always clearing I'm taking the minions that I get and clearing the board, so that, because I never was taught that, and I kind of made a lot of mistakes. So for the tutorial part, until I get out of that, they're gonna be just saying clear everything, play your stuff on in curve, and try to eventually you'll beat them, you'll beat the innkeeper or whatever. It's not trying to do advanced trading and if you leave this minion, they'll make the trade for you, but then the human opponent might do it different because this is an AI. I take none of that for granted, and I just say play your cards on curve type stuff and try to keep the board completely clear and don't guess yet, don't try to predict their cards. So I got that going. There's a few things on there, and I'm open to any support of whether it's good feedback, bad feedback, whatever. I don't care. Yeah, that's cool.
No, that's awesome that you're doing that, man. I'm going to have to check it out. I'll have the link for you guys in the show notes here. You can find that. And, yeah. Well, Scott, I'm so glad that you were able to bear with me for all the time it took to make this happen.
Yes.
Seriously, it's been so good having you on, talking about tech cards, chilling.
Yeah,
talking about this game that we love, man.
I'm incredibly sorry for every time I have spoken over you and talked too long. It was long-winded and everything, and I'm had a super good time. Glad we could finally get this down and recorded. Had a blast, and definitely, guys, if he'll work with you. If you want to come on the podcast and you've never done it before, like he said, just reach out to him. Super nice guy. He'll let you on, and y'all can talk some Hearthstone. And thank you for the opportunity, Andrew.
Oh, man, it's absolutely my pleasure. And, hey, thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys next time. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Come on, you thought it for a little bit. No, it is finally time, guys, to give away all of these prizes that I've got, and I'm going to have to thank the people as we go, because I had a ton of just generous people who wanted to jump in and celebrate the big milestone of episode 100 with us, and I wanted to thank you guys so much again. We had over 480 entries into this contest, which just kind of blows my mind. So thank you guys for jumping in. All right, without further ado, let's talk some prizes. The first one we've got up is kind of a big deal. It's a BattleNet gift card, and this one is going to go out to Apex Predator on Twitter. Congratulations, man. You got $20 on Blizzard. Okay, speaking of Blizzard, they were so generous to donate a ton of these Hearthstone-themed prizes. They've got some awesome swag, and they were just really generous to give these. So we've got a ton of stuff here. First up, we got a 4-set of pint glasses. That is going to go out to WMA Jensen. We've also got an oversized mouse pad that is now the property of @Dakota_Rudy. Congrats, man. I've got a talking bottle opener, so you can have the innkeeper himself opening up your brews. That is going out to GGK Thanks. Congrats. I've also got a keychain opener, which is just going to look dope on your keychain, Rod Johnston. That one's coming for you, bud. And I've also got two light-up lanyards that are so cool. They've got each rank on the lanyard itself, and then it's got a light up Hearthstone logo. Pretty cool. And those are going out to Mitch_John573, and It's Not Sponge. So congratulations to all of you guys. If you wanted to win one of those prizes and didn't get it, I'm really sorry, but the good news is you can go head over to the Blizzard store online. Just go to blizzard.com and search for the store there, and you can check out all the stuff that they've got or go to an upcoming event. We've also got some generous prizes from our friend Lydia Jean. And Lydia Jean has got some awesome art that she does that is just fan art, but it is way cooler than just fan art. This stuff is way cool. I think I've mentioned before, I've got Baron Geddon here on my desk. He's always looking down on me, and he's way too cute. So I'm a little bit nervous about that, but you know, that's totally good. And we've got a Doomsayer, a Lord Jiraxxus, and a Blood Mage Thalnos that we're giving away here. And the three winners of those are going to be @ChrisManning, @MrClean, and @SpartacusFett. Congratulations to you guys. Those will be coming your way. They'll be randomized, so I hope you get the one you really want. Lydia was also super generous to throw in an offer for everyone else. So if you were really looking at those and hoping that you could get one, she's added in a discount just for you. You can use the code HAPPY15. It's HAPPY15, and that will get you 15% off when you spend $10 or more. And that code goes through November 30th. I'll include the link to her store on the show notes, so you can go check that out. Again, it's the code HAPPY15. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Lydia Jean, for those. And finally, last but certainly not least, my good friend Tsukaime, otherwise known as HS Coach, an incredible Hearthstone coach who can help you with your game. He's generously donated 3 lessons, and those lessons are going to go to Forrest Bates, Mob Zombie HS, and Karova. Congratulations, you guys. I know from personally being a student of his, you're going to really enjoy that, and you're going to grow from it. So that is all the prizes I've got, except I've got a ton of Steam codes, and I would be up all night drawing those. So I'm going to reach out to you guys individually for those Steam codes. If you heard your name, go ahead and reach out to me. If I don't hear from you in about a week, I'll let you know what's up, and we'll make sure to get you your prizes. Thank you to everyone again who entered. Man, if this is just another contest that you entered and you didn't win, I'm really sorry. But you can't win if you don't enter. So thank you guys again so much for getting the word out about the Happy Hearthstone. For those of you who won, congrats. Can't wait to get these episodes to you, and I'll see you guys in episode 102.